Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
December 18th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, burst mode. Welcome back to another show. I'm going to talk about a function that we all have on our digital SLRs, and we have on our compact cameras too, although it's not quite the same. It's not really burst mode on a compact camera. It's sort of faster than one-shot mode. But nonetheless, burst mode is there. But this is something that I use more today than I ever have before. And I was trying to figure out, why am I using burst mode now more than I did a couple years ago? And I got to the bottom of this, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, because I think it's very useful for certain types of shooting. And I'm not just talking about sports shooting. I'm talking about other types of shooting too. And we're just going to kind of explore burst mode today. And both on the camera side, on the capture side, but also on the software side, because the software side has a lot to do, I figured out, with why I'm using it more these days. Now, I'm also going to talk about some digital story stuff, including I'm going to read a reader submitted letter, or actually I should say a listener submitted letter. I get lots of mail around the digital story. I try to answer most of it. And every now and then I like to read one on the air. I have one today that I'm going to read, and it's about my rant from last week, talking about, Audible.com, or actually their advertising campaign. So I'm going to cover that a little bit later in the show, and of course, all the other bits and bobs that I talk about every week. But right now, I want to get right to burst mode. So here's the thing. I shoot a lot with basically two camera bodies, Canon EOS 5D and the Rebel XTI. I like them both. They're for different types of shooting and bopping around and so forth. And they both have burst mode. Now, what is burst mode? Of course, that's like the continuous shooting mode. So you have these different options on no matter what camera you have, a single shot and burst mode. They're usually under the drive menu. It's called different things on different cameras, but it's a place where you get to choose between single shot and continuous shooting. And then sometimes they'll throw the self timer in there too. It depends on the camera manufacturer. Now, for years and years and years, because of the type of shooting I did and because of the way that I use autofocus, I would be in single shot mode, which basically you focus, you press the shutter, you take a shot, and then you start all over again. Now, of course, you can do this quickly because it doesn't take a whole lot of time to focus and press the shutter and then start all over again. But nonetheless, I was in single shot mode almost exclusively, except when I was doing something like covering a sporting event, things like that, where obviously burst mode or continuous shooting mode was a more natural fit. So then I've noticed over the last year especially, I've been in continuous mode much more. In fact, almost all the time. And I never really thought about it that much. And then a couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with John McDermott. And it's actually a podcast that I recorded for the Inside Aperture site. And I did put a link to that podcast on the digital story. If you haven't checked it out, I would really listen to that podcast, because John, besides being a great photographer and a really nice guy, he says some really insightful things about photography itself. The podcast is on Inside Aperture, and we do talk about aperture some, but it's a lot about just photography in general. And John shoots a lot of action photography, and he was talking about burst mode and how many frames he would sometimes record for an assignment such as covering World Cup and things like that. And then he also talked about it for portrait shooting. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, I use burst mode almost exclusively for portrait shooting these days. I like to shoot existing light when I can. And of course, burst mode is a natural for that, because the advantage is that if you just take one frame, you know, sometimes you sort of get in this rhythm with your subject or your model where you take a shot and then he or she will, you know, kind of relax for a second and then pose, and you take another shot and relax and pose. And a lot of times in single shot mode, a lot of your shots will end up sort of looking the same, and they might not be exactly what you want. It's almost like the person can present a facade to you that you can't really get around. So I switched to burst mode a while back. I think when my camera started shooting burst mode better, my digital cameras, because yes, the first shot or two that you take in the sequence will be that shot that they want you to have, the shot that they present to the camera, that facade. But then you keep shooting, and a lot of times most people can't hold that facade. So then they break down a little bit and you start to see the real person. And of course, there are a lot of outtakes in those bursts, but then sometimes there are some real gems. And I've found the key to getting natural portraits, portraits that I really like, portraits that I like looking at. That happens because of burst mode, because somewhere in the middle of that sequence, the real person reveals himself or herself for just a second, and you can grab it because you're shooting at 3 frames a second or faster. And right away, you go, wow, when you start to look at those sequence of shots and you find those 2 or 3 shots that you probably wouldn't have gotten any other way, you go, I think I'm onto something here. I think there's something about burst mode that really can help me get great portraits. Well, if it's so wonderful, why haven't I been doing this all along? Why haven't I been shooting in burst mode from day one? And I was scratching my head on that. I couldn't figure out why, because it's so cool. And then it dawned on me, software also had a lot to do with my choice from moving to single shot, where I would have fewer shots from a portrait session, to burst mode, where I end up with a whole bunch. And in particular, Apple's Aperture and Adobe's Lightroom have had a whole lot to do with it. And I particularly like, when I shoot in burst mode, I particularly like Aperture. This is an area where I think Aperture handles your shots really well. Because what I used to have to do before I had either of these software applications is that I would actually be somewhat intimidated by coming back from, let's say, a model shoot with 500 frames. And I only needed 2 or 3 shots. And I go, oh, I got to go through all these pictures and try to find the shot that I want. And we've talked about this before. You know how this works, right? In the old days, you would upload the pictures onto your computer. You would use something to browse them with, whatever application that you happen to have, Photo Mechanic, Adobe Bridge, or you would just look at them in the Finder, just look at the previews. And you'd begin, earnestly trying to, really pay attention to the difference in each of these shots. And then maybe if you found one that you kind of liked, you'd write down the file number or mark it in some sort of way, and then keep going. And then maybe you'd find another one, 20 frames later that you thought was kind of just as good. So you'd mark it some sort of way. And you would start out pretty well. And then you get about 100 shots into it, and you just would start, or at least this happened to me. Maybe it doesn't happen to you, but this would happen to me. Then I just go, oh, God, I don't have the concentration for this or whatever. This is too tedious. They all look good or they all look bad. I'm just going to pick one here that looks pretty good to me, send it to the client, and off I go. And I know that doing it that way, that I was not sending the best shot, or I was not working with the best shot, because I wasn't really, examining all the shots equally well to actually find that best shot. So this is where software has really made an impact, because now in Aperture, for example, I upload the files, and then I use the stacks feature in Aperture, And the way that Stacks works in Aperture is basically you set a time frame for a series of shots. So you say, that you want to see a stack of, all the shots that are, a few fractions of a second apart or something. So then, when you shoot off a series in burst mode, then all of those shots in that series will be one stack. And because there'd be a little pause from the time that you finish that sequence till you started the next sequence, then Aperture knows to take the next sequence and put that in a stack also. So then you have these stacks. So right away, Aperture would take, 500 photos for you and, put it in whatever, 50 stacks or however many, depends on how big your bursts were, but a number of stacks. You've already broken it down in parts. And I think breaking things down into parts is so important. This is a little bit of a digression, but it actually applies to what I'm talking about here. Way back when I was working for a client in healthcare, actually, and my job at the time, I did photography for them, for their brochures and so forth, and I also helped them with their online presence. This is back when everyone had to get online. And I mean, these were like mammoth projects, gigantic projects, and that involved all sorts of things. All these different departments and legal and, regulation, all this sort of stuff. And it would just make your head swim. And I was working with this client and she would say, well, what I tell my folks when we have a really big project like this is to break it down into parts. That's the first thing that I recommend doing, because when you break something down into parts, no matter how big it is, you can get your head around the parts, and then you solve one part, and then you move to the next part, and then you move to the next part, and the next thing you know, you have moved through this gigantic thing. And I just thought that was the best advice in the world for this sort of work. And that's what I like about what Aperture does when I make these shoots in continuous mode or burst mode. It breaks my shoot down into parts, down into the segments that I can get my head around. Now, you can do this also in Lightroom, and to some degree, I'm sure you can do it in other applications too. I just find that it's really easy in Aperture. And as you know, I use both Aperture and Lightroom, so certain applications work better for me in certain situations. When I'm shooting in burst mode, I love Aperture. I love the way that it automatically breaks my shoot down into these stacks. Then you go through the stacks, and what I do, I use compare mode, and so then I'll have, the first shot up, and then as I roll through the other shots in the stack, each one individually comes up next to the one that I'm starting with. As soon as I find one that's better, I mark it as better, it moves over to the left, and then everything is compared to that. And suddenly, I've motored through a whole stack, and I have the best shot, and I mark it as the best shot. I collapse the stack. The best shot is on top. I go to the next stack, do it all over again. Before I know it, I have gone through hundreds of photos, and I know exactly which is the best shot in each stack. So then let's say I'm looking at 20 stacks that are collapsed. So all I'm looking at this point then are 20 photos. I can always open those stacks back up if I want to change my mind. But for the purpose of this conversation, let's just say I all those stacks are collapsed. I'm looking at the 20 best photos of the shoot, each stack represented by a photo that's the best in that sequence. And then all I have to do is figure out the 5 or the 10, however many I need. Maybe I'll put all 20 online as a web page and let the client pick from those. And then that way, I'm only putting my best stuff forward for the client to choose from, so that no matter what they pick, it's going to be something that I'm going to be happy with. And yet I'm feeling, really responsible as a photographer, because I feel like I am giving the client the best possible product. This is really a great way to work. So it dawned on me, this is one of the reasons why I'm shooting burst mode now much more than I used to, because now I can shoot burst mode for anything. First, I have a memory card that's big enough to hold a whole bunch of shots. I usually have 4 gigabyte cards So even when I'm shooting with a 12 megapixel 5D, I can get a lot of shots on that memory card. The camera can process RAW much faster now than they used to, so I can have a nice burst mode and be shooting in RAW. I don't have to shoot in JPEG in order to have burst modes. That has something to do with it. And then when I have all these shots accumulated, then I know that I'm going to be able to process them without going crazy because I have Aperture or Lightroom waiting for me on the back end. All of these things contribute to me using what I think is probably one of the best functions on the camera in terms of capturing the decisive moment. So now I'm using burst mode for practically anything that involves people, because people change. They change second by second by second. And I want to make sure that I get that shot, if it presents itself to me during any sort of interaction I'm having with a person, even if that interaction is only a few minutes long, if they present a great shot to me, I don't want to miss it. And I think that by shooting in continuous mode now, that I'm going to get it, and then I'm going to, not only am I going to get it, but then when I'm in post-production, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to elevate it to the top of the stack, and I'm going to use it. This is a really nice way to work. Now, of course, you can use it in for sporting events and all that other stuff too. But I'll tell you, even when you're doing a headshot and the shots aren't that much different, when you're working in stacks, and you know, I recommend that you do take little pauses, you know, in between your sequences. And a lot of times I'll chit chat with the subject, with the model, with the client, you know, and it kind of keeps them loose also. But if you take these little pauses so that you're actually creating nice stacks that you can manage later on, even if they're only subtle differences, in compare mode, you'll see them. You can work quickly, and believe it or not, it's actually halfway fun. And I would have never believed that in the past, presented with, you know, 300 headshots of the same person that I had to go through. Fun would not be at the top of my list in terms of what I was looking forward to that night. I want to talk a little bit about what happens on the camera side and how you set up your camera if you're going to be shooting in burst mode. So first of all, you need a big memory card, or you need probably a bigger memory card than what you would need for other projects. So make sure that you have a memory card that can hold, you know, 100, 200, you know, 300 shots in the highest resolution that you capture in before you start your shoot, because you don't want to have to change cards too often. Obviously, you know, a pause now and then is great, but you don't want to run out of card right when things really start getting good. So make sure you have a decent sized memory card. Now, the next thing is then you have some AF modes to choose from. And this is common on almost all digital SLRs, although they call them differently depending on, you know, what brand you're using and what model even. For instance, on my Canon 5D, I basically have a choice between one shot AF autofocus, AI focus, which is, you know, where it is the intelligence, where it figures out what it should focus on in real time. And then AI servo, which is even more advanced for moving subjects. So I like one shot if I know that the subject isn't going to be moving around a lot. For instance, if I'm doing a model shoot, let's say a portrait or something like that, I will actually put it in one shot and lock my focus in, you know, by holding the shutter down halfway, and then I will go into burst mode for a sequence of shots. I just feel more confident. I really like to focus on the eyes. If I can lock the focus in on the eyes, then I feel a lot more comfortable when I'm looking at those shots at 100% later on my computer screen. And the thing about when you leave the focusing decisions up to the cameras, the cameras are very good about, you know, figuring this out. But they're not going to know to focus on the nose instead of the eyes, or the eyes instead of the nose, or the chin, or whatever. they're not quite as precise when they're in automatic focusing mode. That being said, if the model or the subject is going to be moving around a lot, if that is part of the shoot, then I will switch to the AI focus. And the way that works on the 5D, if I put it in AI focus and then the subject starts moving toward me or whatever, I think it automatically switches to AI servo so that it can handle the predictive autofocus thing. So it'll, once you put it in AI focus on it, on a Canon, at least on a Canon 5D, then it sort of takes it from there. So the point being, though, if the subject is going to be moving around a lot, then I find that my percentage of good shots goes up when I'm in AI focus, because there's just no way that I can do one shot focus lock and shoot a burst and then keep up with that, especially when the subject's moving around. So my, and this is just me working here too, right? I mean, I think everybody's probably going to have their own way of doing it. And I just sort of want to make you familiar with the options that you have. So what's working for me right now is that if the model is not moving around too much, I will stay in one-shot autofocus, which means I can lock that focus in. I'm trying to lock on the eyes, and then I'll shoot my burst mode. If the model starts moving around a lot, or if that's part of the shoot, then I will go to AI focus so that, and let the camera make the focusing decisions in real time. And of course, you have options. You can lock in on which sensor the camera uses, or you can let the camera also choose from the array of sensors that you have. And so that as the model moves around, it might be the sensor on the far right that locks in the focus on one frame, and then the sensor in the middle, and then the sensor on top, depending on where the subject is in the frame. Now, either way, no matter which way you do, you're going to have loss. You're going to have shots that are out of focus. Sometimes your favorite expression, that you just really love, might not be the sharpest shot in the bunch, and then you have to make a decision. And this is the stuff that I think is sort of hard, where you have just one shot, you just love it, and then the shot that you like but you don't love as much is the sharper one, and then you have to decide between those two. For me, that's kind of hard stuff. So, but this is why we love this, right? Because it's a challenge. It's not easy. We have to work, and hopefully at the end of the shoot, you have a handful of shots that you can show your subject or your client that you're happy with and that they'll be happy with, and then you move on to the next thing. I haven't talked about compact cameras that much because I do use burst mode in compact cameras, and I do shoot with compact cameras a lot also because, I always have one with me. But it's not as satisfying as an experience as shooting with a digital SLR. They're a lot slower. Burst mode should not be called burst mode. I guess continuous, which is what they usually label, is okay because it is continuous. It's just not really fast. So I tend to stick more in one shot with the compact cameras, and just sort of take my chances. I really discovered that, I like burst mode a lot more in a digital SLR because it's a lot faster. Even on a digital Rebel, you get a couple frames per second, and then, all the way up to, I think the new Canon 40D is like 6 frames per second, something like that. It's just really outstanding. I don't have the specs in front of me, but I remember that it was fast. It was faster than my 5D, which is, I think, around 3 frames per second. At any rate, so for me, it's mainly a digital SLR thing. So just to recap a little bit on this, first of all, if you're not using burst mode very much right now and you have a digital SLR, go back to it. Explore it a little bit. Make sure that you have a big enough memory card to do a nice shoot. Try to find a shoot where you don't need to use a flash because, the flashes, generally speaking, can't keep up with the frame rate of your camera. So then that's where you get, you know, some flash, some exposures will have flash, some won't, and I find that sort of disconcerting. So think about existing light shoots where you don't need a flash, and this is where I like to have a lens that I can shoot wide open with. You know, I love my 70-200 f/4 lens. It's a beautiful lens. It takes great shots, and I usually shoot with it, at f/4 for portrait shoots. And if you're lucky enough to have the f/2.8, all the better, right? So existing light, no flash, a big memory card. In terms of, you know, which focusing way you go, I say just go with what works for you. But the thing that I will say is important for portrait shooting, and especially headshots and so forth, make sure the eyes are in focus. So if you're getting good results with it in automatic focus and, you know, the eyes are nice and sharp, then go for it. That's great. If your percentage of sharp eyes is not what you want, then consider staying in one shot autofocus, so that you can lock it in, and then using burst mode for the sequence of shots. Play around with it. You know, your shooting style on the camera is going to have a lot to do with it. And then think about what you're going to do on the post-production side, because you want to make it fun and enjoyable to go through these shots, or you're not going to do it, right? You're not going to shoot in burst mode because it's not fun, or you're not going to get your best shot. So this is a case where I think having Aperture or Lightroom, and I think even iPhoto now does a pretty good job. It doesn't have stacks per se. It does have events, but the events aren't, the time frame isn't small enough for this purpose. But iPhoto does have compare mode on full screen, so you can go through a bunch of shots and have your favorite up and then have the other shots sequence next to it. So that is helpful. So you can do your photo editing pretty well in iPhoto, but the stacks and aperture are really a great way to go for this particular technique. And then give it a whirl and then see what you get. See if you can get those magical shots where the personality of the person comes through, and maybe you have something a little more exciting, a little bit more expressive than the old way of shooting. And if you play with this, and who knows, this could even be a photo assignment up the road. If you play with this and you get some interesting results, drop me a note and let me know. Okay, I want to read a letter. This is from Tony, and Tony sent me this after last week's show, where I went on about how I felt that the Audible campaign, as it's manifesting on some podcasts, was not working for me very well. And that's mainly where, you know, people felt like they had to do these book reviews and stuff, because you get a free book with Audible if you go to Audible and mention the website and, you know, the whole deal. And what I really wanted to hear was a real podcast and not a bunch of stuff just for the sponsor there. So anyway, here's what Tony wrote. Derek, as always, another great podcast, even with the rant. I'm not familiar with this Audible.com book review thing. I guess I'm fortunate that none of the podcasts I listen to have been invaded. I wanted to take time to tell you how much I appreciate your efforts, and especially your integrity. I love your engaging style, your friendly, non-condescending approach. I'm not very good with English, but, you know, I'm friendly. And how earnestly you encourage we listeners to participate. In light of your efforts and integrity, I'd like to help financially with your efforts. I know it's probably not much, but I can send you a check for $100. Let me know if this is okay with you and where I should send it. Keep up the great work. I can't wait for the next podcast, and I promise I will participate in some photo assignments someday when I get the time. I'm going to hold you to that, Tony. I'm going to look for your picture in one of these photo assignments here in the next few months. So there's a couple things I want to comment about here. First of all, I just wanted to thank Tony for taking time to write. It was just a very sweet letter. And I also appreciate his willingness to help with the show. I wasn't really trying to convey that I needed financial help. But I think really what he was saying there is that he appreciated what I'm doing on my end, and he wanted to reciprocate in some way. So I wrote him back. Here's what I said. I wrote Tony back, and I said, you know, just thank you so much for such a great letter. It was very inspiring. And I'm going to pass on the $100, although, you know, everyone could use money. But that's not really what I'm after here. Here's the way that I'm going to ask for support when the time comes. When the next book comes out, Digital Photography Companion, I asked Tony, instead of sending the $100, if you could buy a copy or two and give it to a budding photographer, give it to somebody who will really use it and become a better photographer. And by doing that, it's a win-win. Basically, the books I write and the magazine articles that I write, are that money is what helps fund the site. And, you know, sponsors help a little bit. Google AdSense helps a little bit, on and on and on. But, you know, the way that I really, you know, launch this thing and keep it moving forward are by, you know, what I make from writing. So that's the way I have it set up. So when Digital Photography Companion comes out, if people will buy the book and if they'll share it with somebody, if they'll give it as a gift or do something, then that helps keep the site going. And then that also helps spread, you know, photography. And that's really what this is all about. This is a virtual camera club, and this is about, you know, all of us being passionate about photography and getting better at it. And so that's the way I'm going to ask everyone to help. And Tony wrote back and he said, you know, I'm going to buy a couple books. I already know who I'm going to give them to. And I just thought that was fabulous. So we'll talk more about that later, but thanks so much for the note, Tony. And I know there's some of you out there that feel the same way, and thanks for those good thoughts, too. Okay, just to wrap up here, I'm running long today for some reason. I don't know why. Well, sponsors, I need to thank our sponsors because they're also helping keeping the show going. LowPro and ExpoDisc and Photomagico are all sponsors of the Digital Story, and they all have tiles on our pages. And I encourage you to take a look at their sites and to take a look at their products. They're all three products that I just highly recommend to everybody. And we'll be talking about more about all of them up the road. GrabShots. We've just been lean on GrabShots lately, and I need more. So please send me a good grab shot or two that you happen to have. And I'd like to kind of kick that into high gear again. This month's photo assignment is water. And that's all forms of water, steam, ice, liquid, and then anything creative that you can think of. And I'm really knee deep right now. I just finished my chapters on iPhoto 08, the missing manual. I had very short turnaround on that. And I'm just on the home stretch for Digital Photography Companion right now. So I'm a little slow on things like the photo assignment and so forth. I am going to get to it, though. And hopefully I'll get to it within by the next podcast. So I'll get the last month's up, which is a really great gallery. But I want you to keep working on this month's, which is water. And I think that will do it for now. Suddenly, I'm out of time. So Burst Mode, check it out. I mean, I'm telling you, if you might get hooked on this thing. Take a look at Burst Mode. Work on your photo assignment. Thank you for your support. I just totally appreciate it. And I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.